Start from the two decks and minimum a bit. I'm Rabbi Ami. I'm a Rav. There's some juicy changes here. Possibly I'm supposed to trash things down that it might be I'm a Rabin or I'm a Rabin, I'm a Rav, which would match it up to the Memrot that are beforehand. So it would make sense why it's here, because those were the previous Memrot were by I'm a Rav and I'm a Rav. So it would just make sense why it's in this location here. So I'm a Rav, I'm a Rav, and I'm a Rav. What does it say? You should make for yourself, you know, clay gola, kelim to go into the gola. What is a clay gola? Someone who's moving around. What do they take with them? Zuner, ukeara, ushtiach. It's a candle, right? A karo, like a bowl or some sort of eating utensil. Right? Ushtiach. Ushtiach is a cooked skin that's used either for the rush says to sleep on it, Elisha and Alav, and the rod says to eat on it, or the Oklahoma Alav, to eat, you know, to either sleep on it or eat on it. But this is a person who's basically on the move. You know, what does he need? He needs light, he needs a, you know, an eating utensil, and sounds like Shtiach is either an eating mat or a sleeping mat. So the close circle. So it says, Takar Shabbat Hashem Lokecha, that you didn't Shabbat Hashem Lokecha the Simcha, and Mirovkol, because you didn't worship Hashem at a Simcha when you had so much. Then you have Chosirkol. What's Chosirkol? I'm Rami. I'm a Rav. Below Ner, or below Shulchan. That means that you don't have light, you don't have a candle, and you don't have a table. A Chistamar below Isha. Does anyone have a wife? Rishis Amar below Shamash. Anyone have someone to service him? Nachman Amar below Dea. Right, without understanding. Tana below Melach or below Revav. One says that you won't have salt and you won't have Revav. Rashi says Revav is Shuman, it's fat. And the Ran says Revav is Shemen, oil. Samar Abaye Nakhtinan Ein Ani Elabidea. That ani, being poor, when being poor, is only in daya, in understanding. Ramarava Amre, they have an expression, the dabe kulabe. One who has dat, right, has everything. The lo dabe mabe, the one that doesn't have daya, then what does he have? The kani machaser, one who's able to purchase or get daya, I mean, that he acquires daya, the understanding. Machaser, what's he missing? The la kani, makani. If he doesn't buy it, right, if he's unable to acquire it, then what's the value of acquiring anything else? What's the worth of acquiring anything else? So that, again, that the connection maybe to the previous Gemara we said was possibly based on the Girsa change, is that it's Amarav and Amarav. There's the same Baal Memra to the previous Gemaras that we spoke about. And then the Gemara moves through this idea of Klei Gola. What is considered something when someone's on the move? What do they need? Meaning that, what are the basic items that they would have? And then, more plays than that, but Choser Kol. If that's what the person has on the basic, on the move, then what are they missing? Choser Kol means, what are you missing? What are the basic items that you'd be missing? That's the punishment from Hashem. And the Gemara goes through, in there, Rishulchan, some of the items that were mentioned as the Klei Gola. And then, the Gemara says, well, maybe Choser Kol is not necessarily, right, a physical item, but rather Deya, right, understanding. The Das, right, is the ability to adapt, to survive, and therefore one who has it is able to not feel, right, for
resourcefulness.
Right, that's a good word for it, very good word. Right, whereas an Ani, the Aniyut, or the poverty, is that with Deya, not necessarily with physical items. Alright, now back to our sugya about Bikur Cholim and Cholim. I'm Rabbi Alexandri, I'm Rabbi Chir Ba'aba. Ein HaCholo Omeid Mecholio, Ad Shemochlin Lo Kol Avon Otav. A Chole does not get up from his sickness until they have forgiven all of his sins. Shenem Rasolech L'Chol Avonaychi, V'Arufer L'Chol Tachluaychi. The one who forgives all the sins and cures all the maladies. So do you see the connection between, there's the Slichat Avonot, right, that is associated with the Refuat Chole. So again, this might have to do with what we spoke about yesterday, the idea that when one is sick, you want to visit the sick, the need to be ma'orer them to tshuva. Because if there's a connection between forgiveness of sins and the getting healthy, right, that means that there's a need in order to get healthy to have one's sins forgiven. That's one possibility. The other possibility is that the sickness, the punishment itself, is a mechapa. Right? And that helps out. Rav Amnun Amar, chozer limei olumav. That a person who is sick goes back to their olumav, is their early days. Meaning they go back to their right youth, that they're, when they come back out, and that after one that comes back from their sickness, they are better than they were before. Shnemar Rutpash Saro Minoar Shuv Lime Olamav. So Rutpash, the Rishonim say here, is a conjugation of the words Ratuv and Pash. Right? Ratuv and Pash. Ratuv is moist and full. Right? So the
root pash. Where's pash?
Pash is the pashot. Means to make many to be.
Oh, poshrim.
A poshrim is warm water. Yeah, Rashi says it compares to the targum of pru vu is pashu uskiu.
Oh.
Right. So pashu means to increase. Plentiful. Right. Exactly. All right. So me know are yeshuv lemei olumav. So that if his skin, and my assumption is that that if one's, swells up, one is sick, right, then they return, they may, although not, they go back to their original days. Kol mishukavo hafachta becholyo, his whole bed you turned over in his sickness. Now Rav Yosef Omar, the mishakech limudo, that he forgets that which he learns, right? So you turn over his whole bed when he's sick, meaning that he loses that which he had before. So this Rav Yosef, is speaking from personal experience that the sickness causes him to forget. As he says, the Gemara tells over this story that is the basis throughout Shas for when Rav Yosef makes these comments, or you'll see now, Amar, said Rav Yosef Chalash, right? Rav Yosef got sick. He lost that which he has learned. He had forgotten. He forgot. He was unable to remember, to recall that which he learned. Ahadre Abaye Kamei. Abaye, who had learned by Rav Yosef, spent time trying to reteach him that which Rav Yosef had learned. Hainu, t'b'chol duchta amrina. This is what we mean, whatever we say in Shas. Amar Rav Yosef, l'shmi'alei haidare shmaita. I never heard that before. And then Amar Abaye, atam rituni alon. You told us this. You said it on this price, or on this Tanaic piece. Meaning that Rav Yosef, who was the Baal HaMemra, says, I don't remember this Memra, and then Abaye's Talmud would remind him that it was he who had said it. So that's
the beginning of Ksuvus, right? The very beginning of Ksuvus.
Yeah, we have it in the, throughout.
Aray Davram.
Okay. They have. That's Aray Davram. Right, so it's the first stop in Ksuvus, but you have it throughout. This is the Rosh Hashanah, that Rav Yosef is mentioned about forgetting, or, who said this, and it turns out it's he who said it, and here's the Gemara says, here, this is what happened, that he had gotten sick, and he had forgotten his limudo. So, Yav Gomir Rebbe, Tzlate Aseri Afei Hilchasa. So when Rebbe used to learn, he would come up with 13, it's unclear what exactly 13 he came up with, but, the Rashi says that Shonali Mudobi Yud Gimel Panim. He used to go over his learning in 13 different ways. The Ran seems to say Yud Gimel Panim in general, meaning that he came up with 13 different approaches that which he was learning. Meaning that he was able to be mechadish, in his learning, 13 different approaches or views, understandings of that which he was learning. So Agme the Reb Chia Shiva Minhol. So he taught Rav Chia seven of them. Sof Chalash, Rebbe. Right, and then Rebbe became sick. Right, or weakened and became sick. Ahad Rav Chia Kamei. Rav Chia was able to return to him Hanushiva, Ape, the Agmire, right? That he was able to return to him the seven that he had learned from him. I mean, that Rebbe had 13, but he only passed on seven of them. So those seven, right, Rebbe Chia his, was able to return to them. But having to Shita, Azdu, six of them, you know, went by the wayside. But having to be lucky, how Katsra, right, there was this launderer, have a Shmiale, the Rebbe could have a Garis Lehu. He happened to overhear Rebbe while he was learning them. So Azil, Rebbe Chia, Begamer Yaton, Kamei Katsra. So then Rebbe Chia went and learnt the other six by this launderer. Va'ata, Vahadar Yaton, Kamei Rebbe. And then he went back and taught Rebbe the residual six that he had forgotten. Could have a Chazi Le Rebbe Lahu Katsra. When Rebbe used to say, see this launderer, I'm like, Rebbe would say to him, Atashita Oti, you made me, Vetchia, and Chia. You were able to make us into who we are because you remember those six and were able to return them to us. You made Chia, Chia Sauti, and Chia made me. In that you were able to return, give this knowledge over to Chia, and Chia was able to pass it on to me, and therefore, in a sense, you are, you know, Rebbe's Chia, Rebbe Chia's Rebbe, and my Rebbe. It's in the term Asa, it's a term that we see, like by Abraham, it's at the Nefesh Asher Asu B'Koran. So Asu B'Koran, there the Targum translates, right, that they taught them Oraita, they taught them Torah. Asu means, that, like we say, or Kol Malami Ben Beno Torah, Kilo Aso. Right, so the idea of Asiyah is that someone who teaches Torah, gives over Torah to the other individual, it's as if he built them, if he put them together, brought them up. So that's what the term Asiyah is here. It's one exceptional laundry. Right. I don't know if I'd want to take my laundry to him, but, right, he was busy with other things.
I was thinking just especially how important it is to discuss Torah when you bring it along. You never know when you need to hear it back.
All right, Amar of Alexandria, Amar of Chir Ba'aba.
We had the Gemara involving the Ksuvos also, and I think we learned that.
Oh, there was a different there. That was with the Katsura also, right?
Very good. And he died at the same time as
Rebbe. Yes, Rebbe, very good.
And I think we could say that wasn't so really a laundryman. In other words, it was euphemistic. He cleansed his neshama. It was a chuzot tshuva.
I'm assuming the Gemara didn't say. I don't think that
the
Acharon might have said that over there. But yeah, Katsra. That's right. Good. I didn't remember that, but you're right. That Katsra was mentioned by Rebbe when Rebbe passed away. That there was a Katsu that went out and died at the same time.
The same murder as we alluded to yesterday, right?
And it says there that he's Mukhan Chayel Amabad, that he went up with Rebbe.
Right.
Very good, so that's very good. That's supposed to be the Katsu from here. This is that laundry.
What are the odds of him having two launderers like that?
Right. That would make sense now if you can't come out why he would have been an exceptional launderer. Okay. Ramah Alexandria, Ramah Kirba Abba, Gugal Nesh. Nes shenasa lecholu yoter min nesh. Nes shenasa lechananya mishal v'azarya. That the miracle that happens to a chola to become healthy again, to cure it, is greater than the nes that happened to chananya mishal v'azarya. Shalchananya mishal v'azarya esh shel hedjels. Chananya mishal v'azarya only saved from a human fire. V'kol yecholim lechabotah, and anybody could put out a human fire. That's a fire from heaven. I mean, I'm with the fever and the sweat, the burning up of the chola. And who can put that out? So it's the nes was much greater to cure or to resolve the fever of the chola than that which was needed to take care of Chananya Mishael Bazaria. It's another memra from Alexandria Rabbi Yehoshua ben Levi. When a person reaches his end, anything can get him. Meaning that it doesn't take, meaning that he loses all defense. Right? And it says that anybody who finds me is going to kill me. You know, because he was punishable by death. So he says, anybody who finds me is going to kill me. Rabbi Amar Mina Denkra, I can learn it out from this pasuk. Mishpatecha amdu hayom, ki akol avadecha. Right? Now we stand in judgment today. Therefore, all are your servants, meaning all are your servants to carry out the judgment. Rabbi Barshilam Ralei Shchiv Gabra Gevoa. So they told this to Rabbi Barshila, this very tall gentleman, or large gentleman, passed away. Rabbi Girdona Zutra, and he was riding on a small donkey. So meaning, basically, he wasn't very far off the ground, and he was riding on this small donkey, and Matatitura Istavit. They reached a bridge, and the donkey either was scared, you know, and pulled away, or he was, Ryan calls it his shigayon, he lost his mind. Somehow, the donkey went wild, shadya, he threw him off the kashachit, and he died. So Rabbi Bashir said about this gentleman that it wasn't logical. He was a very tall man on a short donkey, which meant that he wasn't very far off the ground, and yet a small fall caused him to die. So Rabbi Bashir says, well, this is exactly what we're saying, that on the day that a person is supposed to go, right, they're vulnerable, they're open, they are exposed to any type of takala on those days. I mean that there's nothing going to save them, even from the smallest of harm.
See, the idea is there, you're thrown off the bridge.
It's possible.
It makes sense because
I don't know, but then I don't know.
Already died. He fell off a.
Right, and then you lose the meaning of what the muscle is. Right. I think
even a person could think, oh, this is the safest vehicle in the world. But when you're on a tall bridge, you know, something happens to the means of transport, and you get thrown off.
I don't know. Like Rashi says, Vilchan Rashi here. It's the second class Rashi. Says va'apolpi in the middle of that Rashi. See va'apolpi. Even though it was a short donkey and he was tall, so I thought that was the chiddush, you know, that the issue here is not that he went for a long fall, but he went for a small fall. I mean, exactly what your point, the opposite of what you're saying, right? Why should he have died if he just fell such a small fall? And that the bridge was the issue of scaring the donkey.
He shlicha es rochma le nahar. So who did he quote the Ran?
Ran, right. So that's the Ran. It's just going to go here. Where's the Ran? I'm looking for him here. Let's do shigayon. Remember, let's do here. Stavit. Right. So achzav ruach shtut lo to pray that. It went crazy. Vishlichat vishlachkel le benar. He threw him in the river. Right. So that would be more like what you're saying, but. Either way, right, Rabbi Bashila, I think Rashi is trying to point out the chiddush of Rabbi Bashila that even small, something small and what should have been harmless, caused his death.
Seem like a dangerous situation.
On the other hand, the Ran, I think, is pointing out that it was something that was probably out of the ordinary, that his donkey went crazy and tossed him into the Nar, even though he was much bigger than the donkey. It shouldn't have happened. And therefore, again, making the point that it's that on the day that it's on your day, there's no saving you.
And that your wife reminds me that there was someone who was saved from 9/11. It was like he'd been in the building, out of the building, and within the next week was in a car accident and was killed. I was like,
right, that's it. Many shluchim. Everybody's on call. When your time comes, everyone's on call.
That's where saved.
Right. Chazia the Hau Akrava. Wait, was this a Shmuel? Shmuel saw Shmuel Chazia the Akrava saw the scorpion. Right. The Ativa Akar Krukata was riding on the back of a frog. Avram Nara. He crossed the river. And then on the back of this frog. So you can imagine the sight of a scorpion riding the back of the frog across the river. He did a little ferry across. But he crosses the river. Tarka Gavra stung somebody on the other side who might. And he dies. Karlei the Mishpatech Avdu Ayom. When your day comes, I mean, everybody's on, again, everybody's working. So here, they have an unusual thing where a frog's carrying across a scorpion in order to come after you. Right. Yeah, that's when I started reading the Gemara, maybe that would be like.
Yeah, I had that story. Children.
Right. How much more? Aim a vacuum with a cholet, alamisha, chalatsko, chama. I'm going to visit a sick except someone who has fever. Bafukimai. So where does that come to exclude? Bafukeha, to Tanya, to meaning to exclude these that are mentioned in this price. Tanya Yosef Pratomer, Mishum Rabbi Eliezer. Don't sit visit someone who has a stomach ailment. Locally, I am someone who has an eye ailment. Hello, mechushay rosh. Someone who has sounds like a headache, some massive headaches. So now Gemara says, Vishlomo cholimei ayim. When you're talking about the stomach ailment, mishum kisufa, because of the embarrassment. I mean, that he has to be in the bathroom all the time. He might be in an uncomfortable position. He, you know, it might smell. Whatever the issues are, by cholimei ayim. That's something where the unpleasantness, right, would make it that the beaker or the visit would be maybe not as helpful as you would think. But what about headaches and eye ailments? My time. Mishum de Rabbi Huda Marav. Mishum de Rabbi Huda. Amar Rabbi Huda. Dibura kashe le'ena umar le'ishto. That a speaking or conversation is bad for eye ailments. And good for fever. And I would assume that for headaches as well. That it's bad for headaches, which does make sense, right? When someone has a headache, they don't like noise, they don't like speaking.
Right.
Amarova, hi ishta, this fever, ilav de parvanto de malacha de mavta, if it wasn't for the fact that it was the agent of the malacha mavis, malek yichizra. The dikla. It would be as good as a chizra is to the dikla. What's the chadu to atam yom? Every 30 days, v'kiti reiki l'gufa. And it cleanses the body. I mean, that this fever would be a beneficial, if it wasn't for the fact that it was the agent of the malcham lovis and it's used to kill people. Yeah, otherwise, it would have been a good. Like you take a bath, you'd have a fever, memari kufo, to clean out one's body, to strengthen the goof, to give it a...
I actually remember reading years ago of instances where someone had cancer, and they were not able to do anything for it, and developed a very hard fever, and it actually killed the cancer and healed the person.
So you have that, like Mark said above, about that one who is... When a sick returns afterwards, they're in a healthier position afterwards. They return to their youth after they've been sick. So that's the idea that cleansing. So
the Gemara in Ksuvas about Chizra Dikla, and talking about the Milas of Tamarim.
Right.
So wasn't that bad?
Right. So Chizra Dikla, the Rishonim here give a bunch of items about Chizra. So, right. One is the Chizra Dikla. So let me just go through all the different ones here. So the.
An axe. Right? An axe.
In the Rashi over here, there's more tad, shemakifa deko, begin the peyrots, and a tad that surrounds the tree and protects the fruit. Sheini yacholim lamashmeshpo, that you can't touch them. Kach megin al gufo shel adam, so it protects the body of a person. That's what Rashi says. Ran and the Rosh seem to have a similar interpretation, which is that it's the Ran says that it's hutshin shesaviva deko. It's the little branches or bark that's around the deck is shomrim matomi behemot chayot. It's protected from animals, right? And the Ran says it's the Rosh says I think it's thorns of some sort that grow on the deck that protect it. Siva degel, I'm sorry, siv, the bark of the deck is magina la deco. So I don't know if it's on the deck itself where these are growths, these are unnecessary or. But it would be seem to be detrimental growths on the decal that are protecting it, because either it's sharpness or it's bark that it protects the fruit, because the animals are unable to reach the fruit because of the protection that it provides, even though it seems unnecessary or negative to the decal, right? Or whether it's something external to the decal, something protects the decal. But either way, it's pointing out that something that would otherwise seem negative protects the decal. So too, the fever, which otherwise would seem negative, would actually help the person along and be positive, right? If it wasn't for the fact that it was the messenger of the Malcham Amos. I don't want it, and I don't want its cure. Sounds similar to, right, back in the Gemara in Brachos, when it's talking about Yisurim Shalava, right? Lo Mehem, right? Velo Miskaram. I don't want them or their rewards, meaning that I'll skip the whole thing. I'm a Rabbi Bar Yonatan, I'm a Rabbi Chiel. Our son, Yarfel Echolet. Our son is good for a Echolet or Fuatel to cure him. So, my our son. What's our son? So, I'm Rabbi Yonatan, Chushlo de Sari Atita. It sounds like Chushle are like these peeled barley, or older, you know, meaning that aged peeled barley, the duration apio, that's in the sifter, meaning that here, the duration apio is either, Rashi says it's stuck to the sifter, the stuff that's, when you, you know, sift it, then it's the stuff that sticks to the sifter. I think the Rush, on the other hand, it says that it's
left over from a previous sifting.
Yeah, that's Rashi. That's Rashi. That's Rashi. Somebody else gives an alternative shot. Petosos? No. What is this? Yeah, here, the Reish Napi, the Ron says, "V'tchilas harkadas anapa," the beginning of the sifting process, right, which is in the beginning of the sifting process. So it's either the one that stuck, the residual, or the Ron says, "The Reish Napi," the beginning of the sifting process.
Because it was stuck in there from the last time, so in the beginning of this time, it comes out.
Yeah, all right, I don't know. So is that the best possibility? Okay, I didn't think of it that way. I thought they were talking about different instances, but I guess based on that, you could say they're talking about the same thing. All right. Either way, they need cooking like the meat of a shor, which needs extreme cooking because it's very tough and it needs to be cooked for a long period of time. Not the chushla, but rather the smida, which is the flour, the fine stuff that comes out. So the opposite of what is chushla, you'd have smide that works here. You need it to be cooked like the meat of a shor. Okay. You can take it for what it is. Alright, Amar Bilchan. Burdam ein mevakwin. Someone who has burdam, you don't visit, or the other possibility is burdas. Ein mevakwin also. So what's burdas? Rashi says burdas is shilshul gadol. Shiyotze kol shakim ayan. Someone has some sort of stomach ailment that he is constantly in the bathroom. Someone that is in a constant need of the bathroom or constant flowing out. He had to go to the bathroom very frequently, right? I don't know if that's what he had, but he did have to go to the bathroom frequently, right? Boredom, or Rashi gives the other interpretation, which the other Rishonim bring here, boredom is kamo borshin ovei adam, that a pit that's in, you know, flowing blood out of it. So, Mashakarim Bunmamt, Shiotze Nami Amen Odam. That not only, I don't know if this is a continuation of the Shoshul that includes blood, that blood is also flowing out of the Shoshul, or this is a different ailment where it simply has blood, he's expressing blood somehow. Either way, it's a very uncomfortable and not so pleasant sickness. Same with Akron. You don't visit him. They must hear in Shemo, and you don't even mention its name or his name about it. My time of Rabbi Lazar, because it's something like that flows. Rabbi Lazar, why is it called Bordom? Because it's like a Bordom. It's like something that flows. Okay, so now, what's the problem here? Why can't you mention it, and why can't you visit the individual? So, the visit is because of the bius that we talked about before, something that was holding the ayin. It's embarrassing for you to come and visit them when they're in such a predicament, or when they're in such a difficult situation. So because of the busha, we say, don't visit them. But what about no-maskirin shmo? You don't mention its name at all. So Rashi over here, this is unbelievable. Rashi says it's contagious. So he says, mipnei shu kemayan en obeya, shu kopeits mizeh lezeh. It moves from one to the other. V'yeshbo sakana l'haskiro. And therefore, there's a sakana to even mention it. So I don't know, you know, again, I don't know the pathology of this, but Rashi seems to say the mentioning of the name, or because it's such a contagious disease, that it's something that you wouldn't even want to mention because somehow that would encourage the transmittance of the disease.
That could be the source of why when people mention to other people about someone's sickness, they go, they have, you know,
Well, maybe it was like, you're not sure how it's pronounced, or not, or that. They don't want you to pronounce it properly.
So I don't know what, again.
Probably not.
That's one interpretation. The other interpretations, which mean
you don't say it's real names, so you just use the euphemism.
Tosfos says, because mitzvah shakol kishemaskir, if you tell other people about the sickness, then embarrasses the chol. The fact that he has such an ailment is embarrassing, so you don't want others to know that you have such an ailment. Right? So you don't want people going around saying that he has, you know, some sort of, again, today, certain diseases where you don't want people to, you know, think that you have, that one has such a disease, so therefore we don't want you going around broadcasting.
What's the idea that you can daven for them, you know, if you know that
they're sick? But you're sick. You don't have to tell them what the sickness is, right? You can tell them he's sick. You don't have to mention the particular sickness or ailment that he has, right? And then the other one, the Rosh says that it's, again, Shloit Ba'esh HaCholeh. The cholah won't be embarrassed. Meaning that, I don't know if that's when he's speaking. Tosfos really seems that it's when you mention either to the cholah himself or to others. Meaning that the cholah is embarrassed when you speak to it better, or when you're telling others it's embarrassing that they should do it. And the non gives the last possibility, which is the third possibility of this, is that it's lab lashon nikiyahu. That's not a nice way to speak. Meaning that, I don't know, the word somehow was, I don't know if it evolved in
English. Shilshu will sound much more appropriate, for example, than the other words.
Because it's less
familiar. Right, less explicit. So that's, it has a, right, so there are euphemisms for certain sicknesses. If certain sicknesses are so bad, or are considered such a negative, that we don't want to mention their names because it's almost like it becomes a curse in that sense. And therefore, you want to use Lashon HaKiyas, you don't mention the name. There's three possibilities in the Rishonim about what the issue with Maskirin. Rashi says it's a contagion issue, right? The Tosfos and the Rosh seem to say it's an embarrassment issue. The continuation of the previous statement, I mean, don't visit him and don't mention the name. And the Rana suggests that it's Lashon HaKiyas, that it's inappropriate to use such a term. Right, Umar Pat.
Obviously, I think if this maybe wasn't for now, it was obvious that the reason why you can't visit is really because you're limiting the person's ability to take care of himself.
Right, that's the busha, exactly.
Oh, yeah. That's the busha.
The busha is that he's going to want to go to the bathroom and he won't be able to.
Right.
That is, I think the Ron or I think it's, somebody suggested that. Okay. Maybe it wasn't as explicit.
The Ron says it.
That he'll need it to go to the bathroom, maybe, so that's right. Or the other possibility is that the fact that he is always in the bathroom, continuously there, the smell, whatever it is, will cause the embarrassment. I think you're right. Very good. Right. Marpeo Rufuata Nefesh. So this is our Mishnah says that you're allowed to, back to the Mishnah finally, right, that if someone's Mudara Noah from them, that you're allowed to cure them, right, Rufuata Nefesh, but not Rufuata Mamon. So the Marpeo goes, what's the difference? Nefesh means for free. Fus mamon means bishkar, to pay him. Say that explicitly. Why would you use nefesh and mamon rather than chinam and bishkar, which are much clearer words? Right? Ela ava lo bishkar. So, litnei hachi, marpeo bichinam lo bishkar. Ela, what's refus and nefesh versus refus and mamon? Refus and nefesh is gufo, taking care of him. Fuz Mamon is Behemtel, taking care of his possessions, his animals. Amrav Zutra Batuvia Amarav Aval Omer, though he can say to him, Samploni Yotela, Samploni Rala, that he can give him advice as to what medicines to use for his animals. You know, this works well, and this doesn't work well. Now, even though he can't provide the cure himself, nevertheless, he could make recommendations. Okay, now I skipped over the hard part about this Gemara, but what's this Gemara talking about? It's easy to read the Gemara, but who's usher to who? Let's start with that. Right. Is it the chola, the one who's sick, or the mevaker, or the one who's coming to visit, or the rofe, the doctor? Which is it, the doctor that usher to the chola, or is it the chola that's usher to the doctor? Let's start with that issue. That's the first issue. Second issue is, why does giving advice not part of hana? Why is that excluded from giving the person hana?
So, and we've got before the idea that grandma is
very good. So the Ron says that anything that comes from the Mela, That's the way the Ran says that the speaking of Dibor is something where the Hanah comes in Mamela, and Hanah Mamela is not Osir by Yisirei Hanah. So that's exactly what the Ran says. That's the Ran Shitato in other places, that it's not Yashir. You can't hand something directly hand to hand, but you can if you somehow get it to the person, then it's okay because it's not Hanah Yishira. Rashi and others say that Rashi suggests Amira La Kumhi. That Amira is not considered a tangible item. That's not considered Hanah. Meaning that Hanah is something that's tangible, and if it's intangible, that's not considered Hanah to the individual. And right, the dibur shari, lachavuye u'hanoto mi diburo, is what Tosu says. You're allowed to get Hanah from speaking. Again, it seems like Rashi's interpretation that Amira is not significant enough to be considered an Isur Hanah. You say someone's Isur enough, and then doesn't mean you can't speak to them. Right? It means that you can't walk in their property, you can't use their possessions. I mean, it's something much more, it's much more substantial and tangible. Alright, so now, what's going on here? I will tell you that the Tosus brings down two possibilities of who's Usher to who here. Alright, we'll go with the Ran's interpretation just to make it easier here. We'll just go with the Ran's interpretation. If you look in the Ran, it's in the last wide line in the Ran, up top, the last wide line up the top of the Ran. He says, Eler Chusin Nafesh Gufo Umetukma. We're talking about a case, right? The Nifse Rofa Asur Malachule, where the doctor's possessions are Asur to the Chule. Therefore, he cannot cure his animal. But it has to be a case. Wasn't this an unbelievable chiddush in the Ran? It's only when there's another doctor there. There's another vet in the house. If you're the only vet in the house, then this gemara is not for you. But if there's another vet in town, then you cannot go ahead and cure his animal. Why? If you can't cure his animal when you're the only vet in the town, you can return to him his lost item. And there's no returning greater than this. His animal's sick. His animal's going to die. And you cure the animal. How is that any worse than a Shavas Aveda? You're returning his object that would be lost. Right? So therefore, if he's the only vet in town, nothing to talk about. He can get cured. It's only when there's another vet in town that you can't. Because nevertheless, you're allowed to cure him personally. Why? Because not from anybody. It's not everyone that is able to cure you. I mean that each doctor has his strength or has his ability or maybe his muscle, whatever it is. And therefore, even when there's another doctor available, you're allowed to go to this individual. Whereas with Behema, we don't say that. So, why is this? So we have, the Ran suggests over here, first of all, it must be in all these cases, the case where there are two doctors there, and despite there being two doctors, you're allowed to get yourself cured, but you're not allowed to get your behema cured. And if there was a single doctor, even your behema, you could get cured by this doctor, by this vet. So he says, it's like a Shavas Aveda. The Rav Divi Eger points out here that the logic doesn't carry through, because why do we say by Shavas Aveda that you're allowed to return it? What was the logic behind the fact that when he's usher b'anah that you're allowed to return his object?
He already owns it. You're not giving it.
It's his, right? Homi the musi. It's yours. You're returning his own object. Yeah, you're returning his own object. That's not true by the refuah of behema. Yes, you're returning his behema, but the anah being provided is the refuah that you're performing. So the Rabbi Kiva Eger wants to suggest the sense.
It's not that the murder there because. If you didn't return it, there's no guarantee it wasn't paid.
Right.
No guarantee that anyone else would, you know, would
return it. But that's the opinion that says you're not allowed to return it. Right. We're basing on the opinion that says you can return it, right?
Okay.
And there it's Mabriach Ari, because someone else would be, you know, might have taken it. So here you return it, you protect him from someone else taking it. So you protect him from someone else taking it, that is Mabriach Ari, not direct cure, where it says here. But there it's here with our shovel is that you're dealing with the animal directly. Right, so that's, and then we'll give you your points out. Now, you look in the next, and go through the round, the next round. Since he's not placing this medicine directly on him, it's mutar. Like you were saying, Shaul, that it's a groma. Right, the hanah comes by itself. Umina debrefuat gufo, afil lushum hasam biyadav shari. Assume, if it's talking about the person himself, you're allowed to put the medication on, even directly, on the person themselves. Mi'u, dafka sheshel mudar. It's only when it belongs to the mudar himself. The medicine has to belong to the one who is asur b'hana. In that, if here, what did we say? The case is the case where the rofe is asur's his, any benefit from him on the cholet. So the only way he can put medicine onto the cholet is if it belongs to the cholet. The medicine belongs to the cholet. Why? Why? So this is around the shittadot. But if it belongs to the doctor, you can't use the medicine. The mitzvah of it. Even if it's a place where there's nothing else, he doesn't have it. And he's doing the mitzvah. If you're giving something directly, that is asur. Even when the makom mitzvah, even when there's no other way to get around it. Because where do we have that example? Someone has no food. You're in the desert, and you have to mudar anah from him. You can't give the food directly to him, even though it's mitzvah kavod, he's going to die. You still have to be mafkir it. You have to give it to a third party. You have to put it up on the sela. You can't hand it directly to him. Right. That is all what we're talking about here. Miu. This is in a case where the doctor asked in hanah the cholet. So therefore, the doctor can perform refus and nefesh, but he can't perform refus on his behemoth. Refus on his behemoth because he's giving him anah, and that's what he's restricting it. Refus a goof, if it's in a case where he's the only doctor in town and there's nothing to talk about. Even his behemoth can get benefit from it. But if it's a case where there's two doctors in town, you still can perform it. Not everybody is able to get cured by every doctor, and therefore you might be the right doctor for this individual, and therefore you do perform a mitzvah, and you can perform the refuah, right? If it's a mitzvah, you can even provide medicine as long as it's not your medicine that you're providing. Whereas, who took the neder? Here, the doctor took the neder. What happens if the chol himself took the neder and asked that the doctor's benefit on him? Then the Ron says, in that case, even the medicine of the doctor might be mutter. Why? So this is what we had earlier in the Gemara. Right. The person makes neder, they exclude anything that would be to his health or benefit of his health, and therefore it might be excluded. So the Ron suggests that it has to be a case where the rofe took the doctor, even the neder, where it's clear that the rofe would not have had that in mind. And whereas when the cholotei takes the neder, even though they're offering the same thing, they're both offering the possessions of the rofe or the hanah of the rofe on the cholet. Nevertheless, depending on who takes it, it might be that there's a natural exclusion when the cholotei takes it for any health issues.
I feel like that argument is less compelling in this case. Right. That's what a doctor does.
Right. Right.
It's much more likely that that a doctor would exclude as previously we had it. So one person, wouldn't you suppose exclude the other person without his benefit? But here we're talking about a doctor who, what he does is he tries to heal sick people. Right? He very possibly might have had one to exclude that.
Right. So there are
benefits from you, Doc.
That's right.
What else
do
you
mean? All right. So it's mostly other Rishonim focus on mitzvah, whether he's doing a performing mitzvah or not performing a mitzvah. This will come back to our machlokas about when you do a mitzvah, are you allowed to get hanah when the mitzvah is done, and how do we interpret mitzvahs lav la'anot nitnu? That just because there is, when we say mitzvahs lav la'anot nitnu, does that mean even when there is hanah, we say it's not there? Or do we have to say, again, it comes back, so therefore, because the tax for a mitzvah, we don't care that there's hanah being provided?
It's of
being curing someone, right?
That's right.
And so, or, according to those who shown and believe that even when you do a mitzvah, you're not allowed to get hanah, means that from that mitzvah itself, you can get hanah, but any hanah that comes besides that is not valid hanah, physical hanah is not valid hanah, then they have to come up with other reasons why this hanah here is not an issue, right, or why this is excluded from the nether. Okay, so go back to anything more. Some quick Mishnayos here. Rochets, there really one Mishnah in the Mishnayos, Gemara breaks them up into two. Rochets in Moban, Bat Gdola, you can take a bath with him in a large bath of a little bit of time, and not a small bath. The Yashini Moba Mita, you can sleep with him in a bed, Rabbi Huda defines that qualifies as a statement. That is in the summertime. But not in the wintertime, because he warms him up. You can lay down on the same bed, meaning that here when they're eating, when they lay on the couches, you can rest on the same couch. You can eat together with him on a table. But you can't go from the same dish. can't share or go from the same dish. But not, and you can't eat from this certain type of dish. So what are the issues here? Let's go, a couple of issues. I'll give to you and then we'll be doing them in the Gemara. What are the issue with the bath and the bed is that you can that the, your heat or your body, right, provides some sort of benefit to the other individual. So when you're in a small bath, you're affecting the other individual. You raise the water because you're going in there, raises the level of the water and it helps him. Or the heat, you help it being, you know, warmer, so it's nicer for him. And same thing with, and then same thing for the bed, right? In the winter time, you know, you provide a benefit by heating him up, whereas by the summertime, there's no benefit, it won't be an issue. Now, what's the problem with the tampui? That you can sit with him on the same mitah, you can eat out of the same table. So it's funny that the Rosh points out that what do we know? That when two people eat meat and milk, right? When you're eating, one's eating basar and one's eating halav, you're not allowed to eat at the same table because you might pass between each other unless there's a heker, right? If there's some sort of heker between you. Once one of the hekerim, two people will visit a place, aksanai. Two visitors are allowed to eat milk and meat on the same table because their unfamiliarity with each other is enough to stop them from passing back and forth. Versus, that's over here too. If someone eats at the same table, that's enough of a heker that, right, if you're two different people, and it's mudr hanah mimenu. Yatsim hanah, how could it be worse than two people who are at the same, you know, table, but they are just visitors there? So again, that restriction is enough to separate them. If you eat at the same table, we don't worry about passing the food back and forth. When do we worry about it? Tampoy, when it's a serving dish. Serving dish has a limited amount of food. And therefore, if you take less from the tampoy, you're benefiting the other individual. Or if you take more, it's to their detriment. So again, here, in the tampoy, we don't allow you to share tampoy because he might say, oh, you know what, I'm not going to take all that. I want him to have some left over. If he says that, boom, he's mahana him, it's a power. But by tampoy a choser is a tampoy that has so much food on it, it gets back to the balabai. When they pass around the dish, there's still leftover when you get back to the balabai. In that case, there's no consideration of taking less or more. Because no matter how much you take, there will still be more left over for him. Right? So your decision has no impact on the other individual. Alright, so now let's go in the Gemara. Tanya, lo yirchatzimo b'mati v'lo yishanimo b'mitah. You're not allowed to go in a bathtub with him and not allowed to sleep with him, period. Ben Gdola, Ben Tana, Divrei Rabbi Meir. That's Rabbi Meir. Meir says, we don't care what's the size of the bath, what's the size of the bed, when it is. He goes there. Everything, I do everything. Meaning that we don't want you sleeping when it's big. We don't want you going in a big bath. We don't want you going in the summer because you might do it in the winter. You might do it when there is hana. So Meir asks it across the board. Yudo Meir, no. Gdola b'motak shaman. When you're talking about a big bed, that is in the wintertime, it's allowed. Biktana b'motachamo, and when it's even in the summertime, you can even use a small bed, because it's a detriment. It's going to make them hot. So therefore, you can sleep in the summertime, you can even be together in a small bed. In the wintertime, you can be together in a large bed where you have no impact on the individual. So Rabbi Yehuda says, only that which is usher do we say is usher. In other words, we're not goes there other areas in case you might come to. Right now, also, you're allowed to bathe with him in a large bath where you won't impact him. And you can do a schmitz, even a small one, because you're being in there is going to have no impact. You're schmitzing already. So you don't really add any value or heat to being there in the schmitz with him. But basically, that's our Mishnah. What's a tamkai is poser? That's a platter that goes back to the owner. Meaning that when it starts at the owner, passes it around, there's enough food where it always ends up going back to the owner, and therefore you're not mehana him with the other case. Quick Mishnah. You can't eat with him from the trough that is in front of the workers. Why is it called a trough? Because the workers are very hungry and they eat quickly or they eat a lot. Right? And he can't work together with him. He's allowed to work with him as long as he's far away. So again, now the ovus shofan palim is because they eat so much, even though there's a large amount of food, they finish it, and therefore he leaves over food, he's benefiting the other poel, so they can't share this common trough to eat together from. Whereas, when he's working, if he works, he's helping him out, because he loosens or he does something to his benefit before he gets there. Whereas if he's far away from him, he's not providing that benefit. The karo, lo pligi de asur. Everybody agrees when they're working close together that they're asur, ki pligi berachos. When they're far away, then they argue, why? Right, Zeir Amir, so because we know Mishum Karol. He goes there, and when you're far away, be heard when you're close, right, to come Arakale Ara Kamei. Because when you're working in front of him, you're kind of loosening up the dirt, you're making it easier for him to do his work afterwards. Right, Rabban and Sarvi, look at Zerina, we're not close there. If it's Rachok, it's Rachok. If it's Karol, it's Karol. So it's also when it's Karol, but it's not us, or when it's Rachok. Okay, we'll stop.